Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo. I go by the name of Pharrell from the Neptunes. And I just want to let y'all know
I'm your pusher.
The world is about to feel something that they never felt before. Come on.
From ghetto to backyard to yard, I sell it with.
And welcome to the Ed and Buzz Show. My name is Ed Molina. My partner in crime, as usual, Fuzzy Biscuits. I picked grinding today because we grinded on a Saturday. This won't be the most evergreen podcast because we're going to be reviewing shows for today and tomorrow. But I got my cider crack open right now. I'm ready to go.
You and the cider.
I I'm a changed man. You know, I'm becoming a Renaissance man. You know what I mean? Like, but yo, before we get into Extreme Rules, which that will be, I guess, the focus of the show. I never thought I'd see the day where one, I would legally pay for a TNA/Impact pay-per-view, and two, that I'd be looking forward more to a Impact pay-per-view more than a WWE pay-per-view. Because of all the cuts that have been made by WWE, there's a lot of talent out there, free agent talent, that is going to sign up. And it just so happens, they're going to sign other companies. You know, you've seen FTR sign with AEW. But Gallows and Anderson already dropped it. They're going to be at tonight's Slammiversary event. They're going to be there. They've already dropped it. They said they're signed. I'm looking forward. I'm a stan. You know how I feel about Carl and Doc. I'm a huge stan. They've teased the potential of bringing back Aces and Eights. I don't know if you remember that old storyline. The whole shit show with the heavyweight title, with Tessa dropping the title because she refused to come from, she refused to come back from Mexico. She's been in Mexico during this whole COVID thing, and she just even refused to even do promos via Zoom. So they stripped her of the title. So you have that situation where there's a surprise entrance in their four-way, in the fatal four-way for the Impact title. We'll get into Extreme Rules in a little bit, but I'm really excited for this card. I'm a big fan of Jordynne Grace, the Knockouts champion. She's fighting Deonna Purrazzo, who just got cut by NXT as part of the cuts. The main event is Ace Austin, who I think is going to be a star. He's going to be a star versus Eddie Edwards, formerly of the American Wolves, if you're up to date with like what's going on with the Indies and Impact, and Trey of the Rascals. I don't know how familiar people are with the Rascals, one of the better tag teams out there not signed to AEW or WWE or New Japan, and the TBD. We'll get to that in a second. And you were surprised to see that Ken Shamrock is back, and he's teaming up with Sami Callihan versus one of my favorite tag teams. Shout out to Maurice Nixon, who put me on to Ethan Eagle Page. But the North, they're fighting the North. One of the, I think, probably the best tag team out of the whole, AEW, New Japan, WWE glow. You're getting the pay-per-view, too. What are your thoughts on this? Like, never did I think I'd be putting over Impact over WWE pay-per-view.
I mean, I feel like I'm watching it for almost the same reasons as you. With, the big one being what you mentioned first, the who's going to be there. I'm a big Rusev fan.
Yes.
I think it's pretty much a lock he's going to sign with them, but is he signed with them? If he signed with them, is this live? If it's live, he has COVID. He won't be there. But if he's there, I would definitely be psyched for Rusev. I'm waiting for Rusev Day. I want to see
who's going to show up.
I think this TBD is probably going to be big in the championship match. I'm excited to see Ace Austin. There's a lot of buzz around him. I can't lie. I mean, not really Ken Shamrock, but Tommy Dreamer for nostalgia's sake. I think you add that to the fact that WWE is just kind of like losing steam. I mean, beyond like the you know, Wednesday night battles on, you know, because Raw had really, really bad ratings. I think
Raw
they're lowest in a while.
A million viewers. I've heard Raw had a million viewers.
So,
and that's Impact numbers. That's
yeah, I feel like they're
numbers.
they're not really doing anything spectacular. Like they, I feel like AEW, at least, especially in the last 3 weeks, has pretty much done better shows than them.
Absolutely.
By a mile. And, you know, like I was saying, I feel like, you know, Extreme Rules is kind of just something to watch. It's not, I mean, I can't say it's generated a lot of excitement. I mean, I'm making sure I'm going to see it. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, we do a wrestling podcast. We've been wrestling fans for 40 plus years, you know. Of course we're going to watch it.
Of course.
You know, they have us regardless, but are they getting anybody? I don't think they're getting anybody new. On top of that, the people who are not as diehard as, you know, like us, they may be leaving.
They're losing.
You know, I mean,
they're
because, like,
fans.
With us, it's pretty much a lock. We will always watch WWE, right? But,
given.
You know,
that's
there are people that are on the fringe that aren't, that will give it up. And, you know, and it seems like some of those people are starting to make the move. And it's, you know, it's almost like, I'll word it differently. I never thought I would be more excited about a non-WWE pay-per-view because of who I think will make an appearance over an actual WWE pay-per-view. It's just...
That's fair.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough times for WWE. I mean, it's hard for, like, I feel like it's hard to convey, like, what's going on because, you know, we're diehards. We always watch it. We're going to always watch it. But obviously some people are turned off and ready to leave, and they have lots of options, and they're exploring them.
And that's the thing, is that the talent that WWE just cut is really, really good talent that's out there. You know, EC3 was so wasted. Carl and Doc were so wasted. I mean, I actually am looking forward to see where Zack Ryder goes. I forgot what name he's going by now. But I'm very curious where Zack Ryder goes just to see what else he can do outside of that WWE umbrella. I'm looking – yo, they've been teasing reuniting for Slammiversary. They're teasing reuniting Rhino with Heath Slater. He got kids. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want to see – it's almost just – and it's not even about the main event, who's going to show up. It's – the overall vibe of the show, that there's a sense of you don't know
throughout
who's going to pop up. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, throughout
the show, friend of the show, Bonnie, said that don't be shocked. Her theory is Maria Kanellis. Well, Maria Bennett, because that's her real name. But Maria Bennett being in the women's knockout gauntlet, like, to determine the number one contender. And by the way, what I'm looking forward to, the talent in the knockouts division is so much deeper than AEW. I know AEW has Sheeta, they have Big Swole, but there's a big drop off. Penelope's just kind of coming up, but there's a big drop off in the women's division in AEW. And, you know, Sue Young has been Susie now. She's been so underrated for so long. I think Taya Valkyrie, who's John Morrison's wife, is so. I saw her against Tessa Blanchard at the AAA show in Madison Square Garden, and I saw her in Triple Mania last year. She is so good in the ring. She's Charlotte Flair good. I said it. You know, and then Kylie Rae, who was in AEW for a little while. I love her whole shtick. It's the whole Bayley thing, but, like, even more cutesy. I mean, it's so talent-rich. And then add the possibility that maybe, look, Maria's not the best wrestler on the planet, but, again, it adds a sense of surprise and swerve. The show feels like it matters. And I can't remember the last time I've said that about, and look, there's a lot of things to criticize about Impact, the way it was mismanaged by Dixie Carter, absolutely. But they've had a lot of great talent over the years. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Amazing Red did his thing there. Eric Young did his thing there. Beer Money, I don't know if you remember Beer Money. That, you know, Bobby
Come
Roode.
Come on, man, that was a
James
big Beer
Storm.
Money mark. Come on.
You know?
Do I remember Beer Money?
All right, my bad. That's I offended you. That's my bad. But yeah, but Beer Money.
That's the glorious one. That's the prime of the glorious one. That was Bobby Roode's
absolute
prime of his career.
Yeah. And that's the thing, that people that only live off the WWE universe don't realize how really good Bobby Roode is, because they never got to see Beer Money. They never got to see him in Impact. Sting, some of Sting's best work has been on Impact. Kurt Angle, when he was in the outs of WWE. So they've had gems in there. One of my favorite tag teams that never went to WWE, but Alex Shelley showed up at NXT. Motor City Machine Guns were fucking great, man. You know, Hardy Boys, great. That was always one of my dream matchups. It was Motor City Machine Guns versus the Hardy Boys, and it never happened. Actually, it might have happened when the Hardys, because, again, when Jeff was in the outs, Jeff... The whole broken, woken Matt Hardy thing starts in Impact TNA. So, but even with all that legacy, there's a lot of rich legacy despite all of Dixie Carter's fuck-up. I can't remember ever being this excited about an Impact / TNA pay-per-view. Like, it's weird. You're right about Tommy Dreamer. I'm not a big fan of Moose, who they got as because they brought back the TNA title as their quote-unquote Intercontinental title. So there's the Impact title, which is the big one. And you know, and then they brought back the TNA title because Tessa was holding the title hostage. They needed to defend something on television. And so they brought that back. So Moose is kind of one of those guys that's kind of a Vince guy. You know how Vince has a type, both male and female? That came out awkward, but you know what I mean. Moose kind of fits that big, jacked up dude. You know, he's a former NFL guy. I think he used to play for the Patriots. So that'll give you a reason to cheer for Tommy Dreamer tonight. He's a former Patriot.
Definitely.
So and like I said, there's a lot of nuggets there that I'm excited about. You know, the only one I'm not really looking forward to is Willie Mack. I'm not a big Willie Mack fan, who, in my opinion, as I understand, he used to be Keith Lee's tag team partner. So he's kind of become Marty Jannetty to Keith Lee's Shawn Michaels. That's a foul thing to say, but still, like, he's the X Division champion. But even still, there's so much nugget. And again, If you never heard of the name Ace Austin, learn the name. This kid is going to be a star. And I think he's going to end up in AEW. And you mentioned that he has, when we were talking off the phone, you mentioned he has a Darby Allin, Allen Darby vibe to him. And that's a feud I want to see. You know, I want to see that feud if he ever goes to AEW. I often feel that WWE fans that just live in that WWE bubble are so disrespectful to the other talent that's out there. And I don't understand why, because when that talent ends up coming to WWE, y'all be riding them motherfuckers. Whether it's AJ Styles, whether it's Keith Lee, whether it's Matt Riddle, whether it's Shinsuke, whether it's Cesaro. The stars that you like in WWE, they came from somewhere. Not all of them are Baron Corbins that are homegrown. And even then, like, when you look at a guy like Baron Corbin, who does his thing, whatever, like, compared to, like, you know, guys that come from the outside, like an AJ Styles, I mean, come on. You know, there's something to be said about cutting your teeth in places like Impact, in places like Ring of Honor, and in New Japan. You know, they pilfered the shit out of New Japan over the last few years. Which, shout out to New Japan, oh my God. Oh. Evil going Bullet Club was a great swerve, but we'll get into, if we have time, we'll get into that. We got a lot of catch up.
Yeah.
Let's do extreme rules so that we can catch up on the other stuff.
Cool.
As we mentioned, yeah, extreme rules. I almost feel like I'm going through the motions. Like the Bray Wyatt Strowman match, I feel like it's going to be cinematic. It could be really, really good because it's Bray Wyatt. I just love that they brought back Bray Wyatt as a character. I think that's kind of cool. It's a little weird that it's a non-title match, but okay, fine. I can live with it. But I feel like that they're going to go the cinematic route because of COVID, they're not going to a natural swamp live. I'm just saying. But, you know, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to stay positive. I'm looking forward to Bayley versus Nikki Cross. I'm looking forward to Asuka and Sasha Banks. I think that in the last couple of weeks, the women are shining in WWE. Those are the bright spots of WWE. And I think a lot of that has to do with heel Bayley is awesome And Sasha's the boss. You know, she just carries. I always liked her better as a heel than I did as a face. I think Sasha as the boss heel just works better. And her and Bayley have great chemistry as a tag team. Of course, they're going to eventually break up. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of, as much as I love Asuka, I'm kind of hoping that Sasha and Bayley hold all the gold. I'm a keep it a buck. But really, that's what I'm looking forward to as far as Extreme Rules. I don't know. What are your thoughts? There's also Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. Why is it that I don't care about that match? And that's no disrespect to Seth or Rey.
Let me take it a step further. Let me take it a step further while you brought that up. I don't, you know, it's been said, we don't care about that match. Let's take it a step further, and let's say eye for an eye match, what the fuck? I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Like, I even feel like the way that the announcers have been playing the eye for an eye match, like, you notice how, like, you know, I think Samoa Joe did, a couple other guys, you know, when they're talking about the match and they sit there and, like, pause and look into space like they're disturbed. Like, oh, my, we are, like, I'm like, come on, man. Obviously, let's be real. The fact that you want anybody to believe and expect anybody to believe that the match is going to end when somebody takes an eyeball out of his opponent's socket, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I let slide in pro wrestling where, you know, I'm not going to be like, hey, okay, now you're disrespecting my intelligence. But the eye for an eye match, Vince, you're disrespecting my intelligence. Really? Like, eye for an eye?
So you can believe in a dead man.
You
can believe in a dead man like Undertaker, but eye for an eye, that's the line right there.
And it's not even that I believe in a dead man. Obviously, I don't, but it's acceptable as far as, you know, the amount of believability, which in WWE, that's very low. But you know what I mean? Like, it's acceptable.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the fact that you think that I really believe that somebody's eye is going to get popped out, like, come on, man. Like, on a positive note, I am definitely looking forward to, and my prediction for match of the night is Asuka, Sasha Banks. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Honestly, I think that, and again, I don't think match of the night or anything, I think possibly exceeds expectations depending on what Dolph Ziggler does for that match. What is going to be the stipulation? You give that match a good stipulation, kind of like a swerve happened during the stipulation or whatever it is.
Sure.
Cool. That could be entertaining. You know, and then Nikki Cross, Bayley should be entertaining. But I'm looking forward to Asuka, Sasha Banks. I think that's going to be match of the night. And, like, nothing else really, like, you know, nothing else is really, you know, making me too excited. Like, you know, I'm watching Extreme Rules as, like, you know, something to watch that I expect to be better than Raw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which,
no,
a pay-per-view, you know, pre-COVID, we would have never been like, I expect it to be better than Raw. Like, you expect something from it. Not anymore.
And you know, like, Apollo Crews versus MVP, I feel like that's a Raw match. And I like Apollo Crews. I'm glad that he's getting this push. And I'm a fan of MVP. I don't know how you feel about MVP. Excuse me. But I've always liked MVP. But I just feel like this is a Raw match because this isn't MVP in his prime when he was the U.S. champion feuding with Matt Hardy. This isn't even MVP when he was IWGP, you know, Intercontinental Champion, which most people don't even realize that he was Intercontinental Champion. I mean, this is, you know, a veteran that's helping put over talent like Apollo Crews over, which is fine. This is, you know, an MVP at a point of his life where he's a mouthpiece for Lashley, who's, you know, helping him. He needs a manager because as far as mic skills, or at least in WWE, he hasn't shown the best mic skills. He's not the worst. But, you know, he kind of needs that oomph, and that's what MVP adds. I like the name of their team, by the way, the Hurt Business. I think that's a great name. That's total That's got MVP's fingerprints all over it, the Hurt Business. But again, that's more of a Raw match. I love Cesaro and Nakamura as a tag team, but, you know, them against New – and I love New Day. And we were just talking about AEW's lack of depth in the women's division. WWE's lack of depth or not even caring, it seems, for the tag team division is a little frightening. Because, you know, this is a company that once had great tag teams like the British Bulldogs, like Demolition, the Road Warriors. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing AEW is blowing WWE away is in the tag team division, which is why I'd like to see the North end up in AEW and not WWE if they ever leave. That's why I'm surprised Doc and Carl didn't end up in AEW. Oh, did you read? Because they did an interview, but apparently they turned down a lot of money from AEW, Doc and Carl, because Triple H came up to him. Triple H as an executive came up to him. He's like, Carl, Doc, think of your kids. Like, AEW might not be there tomorrow. And they had an offer that was insanely eye-popping, they said. And they decided to stay with WWE. And what happened 6 months later? They get fired. They're like, we totally regret not signing with AEW. But again, it's because they have a respect for tag team wrestling. It hurts to see guys like New Day, Cesaro, and Nakamura, who become a pretty solid tag team. Like, I'm dying for the Usos to leave WWE. Not as a diss, not as a bad thing, because I want to see the Usos test the shit in AEW, you know. Like, I look, you saw the Lucha Brothers versus FTR. That was a solid match. That was a solid match. You're not gonna get that in WWE, as far as the men's division at least. But anyway, it's like I want to be more excited for New Day versus Cesaro Nakamura. I don't know. I'm hit or miss with tables matches. They can be really good and creative. They can also be whack. I've seen a lot of whack tables matches. You know what I mean? I will say that I don't have a high bar. I think I agree with you about what, you know, the expectation, like, you know, what the stipulation is. It could be interesting. I like Dolph. I like McIntyre. That could turn out to be a better match than we give it credit. I might be pleasantly surprised the way I was surprised with Mox versus the Machine, Brian Cage. That was a pleasantly good match, which we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, this is something about the women are carrying the show. It needs to be said, and I realize that might irk some folks, but like the women are carrying the show. It really, this is to me a showcase of Bayley, Asuka, of Sasha, and Nikki. Which I'm glad Nikki's in this role. I've always been a fan of Nikki. Even during not Anarchy. What were they called? Her, Eric Young, Wolf, and Alexander Wolf.
Sanity.
Sanity. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, Sanity. I like that whole shit. I've always been a fan of Nikki Cross. I'm glad to see she's getting the shine. Because as she said to Alexa Bliss, Alexa fits all the check marks that Vince had to type. Alexa's definitely Vince's type. Alexa's a lot of people's types, but I digress. But like, as far as what he looks for in ring, you know, Nikki does not check those marks. She's not blonde. She's not thin. You know, she has an accent. But so I'm glad to see Nikki getting the shine. And so I think that's gonna be again, it's one of those matches slept on. I'm not expecting Okada versus Omega, but I don't think it's dog shit. Like the other matches. By the way, really quick before we move on to other stuff, Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio, do you think it's going to be cinematic or do you think it's going to be a match?
I think it's going to be a match. I'll tell you what, though. I would give that. I would take back some of what I said if they make it cinematic and somebody loses an eye. Even
don't
if
you?
It's that they were rushed to the hospital and it was put back in, no problem. But if you're willing to make this cinematic and deal with special effects that look like somebody got their eyeball ripped out, I will take back 37% of my rant.
Don't you feel, though, it's a little bit of ripping off of Mox and Jericho when, like, you put the spike in the eye in a lot of ways? Like, you know, people that are quote-unquote WWE stands, WWE Universe, they criticize anything not in the bubble. And they criticize a lot of shit that AEW does unfairly in my eyes. And it's like, but doesn't this seem like it's like ripping off what they did with Mox and Jericho. It feels that way to me.
Man, not if somebody actually gets an eyeball pulled out. If they do that, then no. Because, I mean, that's, to me, that's a whole other level.
And the other thing, which is the inevitable Dominic Mysterio swerve, which it's weird saying Dominic Mysterio. Like, it would be great if, like, especially as revenge for Dominic on a, you know, Dominic on a pole match. The Eddie, you remember that horrible, horrible Eddie Guerrero versus Rey
custody
Mysterio,
match?
You know,
the custody
what?
Match?
Yes.
The custody
Dominic
match?
Dominic on a pole. Yes. I call it Dominic on
best.
A pole match.
Amazing.
That horrible. That was horrible.
Amazing. Amazing.
But, like, it'd be great if they, like, do that as a throwback, because I think it's inevitable that Dominic's going to swerve Dad. You know, they always say a wrestler retires, he goes out on his back. I could see Ray trying to put his son over, who's kind of an athlete. He's gotten rid of the baby fat that he used to have. Like, kid's a horse. He's definitely got his mom's gene as far as height. No offense to Ray. Like, I'm a short dude myself. Like, but he's definitely got his mom's genes on that end.
Same here. I've always been like, I think Ray needs to get a paternity test. Because he's a good, like, 2 feet taller than Ray.
That kid is a horse. Holy shit. And I've seen him, Lance Storm trained him, and I've seen him practicing the 619. And, like, it just because he's so tall, it's like, and like I said, he's gotten rid of the baby fat. He looks like, he looks leaner. He looks like an athlete. He looks like, you know, he's only 18, 19. He's gone into his body. That kid's a horse. Like, holy shit. Ray, you sure that's your kid? Wow. Definitely didn't get daddy's genes on that end. Like, but let's move on from WWE because we've missed a lot. Keith Lee, champ, kind of spoiled, but it's still great to see. I did feel, though, that Fyter Fest 2 nights overall were better than WWE's Great American Bash. All were solid shows, and that's not a disrespect to any of the shows or any of the things. I just felt that overall, Fyter Fest had more solid matches than Great American Bash. How do you stand on that?
I feel exactly the same way. I mean, I think both nights, it was easy to see that AEW had a better show. This past week with Fyter Fest, AEW has been the show, I would have to say, for the last 3 weeks at least, of Raw, NXT, and AEW. AEW, I think, has been better than all of them consistently this past 3 weeks.
Since you mentioned Fyter Fest, you know what, to me, in the last 3 weeks, one of the matches that really stood out was the Cody Rhodes versus Sonny Kiss match for the TNT title. I know Cody took a lot of flack, and AEW takes a lot of flack for being quote-unquote woke and progressive in how they go about their wrestling, like, you know, Nyla Rose being women's champion and characters like Sonny Kiss. But, yo, Sonny Kiss threw a hell of a match against Cody Rhodes. The way he sold that Crossroads finisher, he's a good bump machine, Sonny Kiss. And I understand maybe not everyone's cup of tea, but yo, that dude keeps improving week in and week out. And Cody took a lot of flack that he had to go on, a lot of homophobic shit said about him. Look, if you're gonna criticize Sonny Kiss because he's a little green, because he's still learning his craft, cool. I can ride with that. It's the homophobia in wrestling, but you know me, like, how wrestling fans can be meatheads. And I think Sonny Kiss takes, and even guys like Cornette who are veterans, who I respect to a large degree, but, like, some of the shit that comes out of his mouth about Sonny Kiss is just so unfair. That said, I thought him and Cody threw a hell of a match. That's one of the matches that stood out to me, kind of the same way that the MJF Warlow match against Jurassic Express. I thought that was one of the highlights of the last 2 weeks. Lucha Brothers, I think the Lucha Brothers have been killing it the last 2 weeks as well. I've been very, they might be the best tag team on the planet. They may not have the belts, but they may be the tag team, the best tag team on the planet. And yes, I will eat my bowl of crow. Rey Fénix. Yo, I'd like to see some solo with him, solo matches with him. If you know what I mean, I'll let you take the floor on Rey Fénix on that one. Cause yeah, man, shit. I'll let you put him over right now.
I mean, do I really need to? I mean, I understand, like, I think and tell me if I'm wrong, but from what I seem to think, I think you like the Zero Miedo more than you like Pentagon. So I think maybe you had wanted Pentagon to be better because you love the whole Zero Miedo thing, you know?
That's fair. I think
but
that's fair.
But when you look with objective eyes, there's no way that you can't see from the beginning that Rey Fénix is. I mean, he's, you know, sorry, AJ, but he's phenomenal. Like he is. I don't know. Like it was evident for me from the beginning that he was the stronger one. Taking nothing away from Pentagon, because Pentagon is
right.
Also a great luchador. But I mean, Rey Fénix, the shit that Rey Fénix does. That spot that he had at not Fighter Fest, Fighter Fest.
Yeah,
I mean that bump that he did. Like, I don't even know how to explain what he did, but you know which one I'm talking about.
It looked like he leapt off of Pentagon's back and did a Canadian destroyer over the top rope onto the folks on the floor. I think that's the best way to describe it. And even then, I am not doing it justice. You need to find a GIF of that spot. You need to find the YouTube of that spot. That's one of the most insane spots I've ever seen. And in a business, especially AEW, people complain it's spot heavy. But that was a whole – yo, my neighbors must have hated me because I was like, holy shit. Like, I was marking the fuck out. And I'm like – that I was like, yo, I think I might have called you, texting you, and was like, yo, okay, you got that. Raise the better wrestler. Like, that spot was insane.
Yeah, Rey Fénix is a bad dude.
Yeah, man, I'd like to see a little bit more of him in singles, because the motherfucker can go. Holy shit, can he go? The other match, I genuinely enjoyed Moxley versus Cage. I thought it was a good match. People were mad at the ending because Taz threw in the towel and they're saying that Cage looked weak. I didn't think Cage looked weak at all. We discussed it off the grid. Look, they told the story in the ring where Mox was working on Brian Cage's surgically repaired arm. All of a sudden, the machine had a kink in the machine. You know what I mean? One of the cogs was hurting, and John Moxley worked on it. I thought they told a great story. And I know you have your issues with Mox. But and so far, I still have him as my wrestler of the year, by the way. But, like, Mox, like, he told a story in the ring. He told a great story in the ring. And I think they're doing a solid job continuing the storyline with the swerve of having Taz throw in the towel. I also love that they brought back the Fuck the World title, the FTW title. God, I love that. I always liked that concept, even though it was kind of Taz cutting the line in ECW. Kind of being a dick to RVD's TV title reign and Shane Douglas's heavyweight reign. Excuse me. Oh, that's the side of the coming back. But
I have a question. I have a question about Taz.
Yes.
I've always wondered this. Is Taz Italian? Yeah. And he's
I don't
from
know.
Red Hook?
I think he's like he's from Red Hook, but I think he might be. Actually, I'm gonna look it up. I think
I looked it up and it didn't say on Wikipedia, but the name looked Italian.
Yeah, you might be right. He does have that. It's on like, hey, forget about it. This fucking guy, like Bensonhurst vibe to him.
Yeah.
That I grew up around.
Yeah, which is surprising if he really is from Red Hook.
Hey,
like I can see him being from like Bay Ridge or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Bensonhurst. This fucking guy, like, that's what I call that Guido, I guess, Jersey Shore, like, because people watch that show, that Guido vibe. He does kind of have, I thought he was Puerto Rican. I might be wrong, you know, But yeah, he kind of has that forget about it. He has that forget about it vibe to him. Forget about it. I like Taz as his mouthpiece because Brian Cage, again, much like Bobby Lashley, much like I guess Moose and Impact, he's one of those bigs that, you know, Wardlow, he's one of those bigs that you don't know what they can do on the mic. And as you've emphasized in the past, being good on the mic is just as money as being good in the ring. I think one of the guys that proved that, who was horrendous in the ring but could sell merch because of his mic skills, I hate bringing back his name, but Enzo Amore is a good example of someone who got by on sheer mic skills. And he was great on the mic. I
exactly.
know people hate him as an asshole, but he got over on just sheer mic skills because he stunk in the ring. He really stunk. Like, he tripped over the rope stunk. You know, but he pushed a lot of merch because of the mic skills. And so I like Brian Cage, and I think him and Taz are a good fit as managers. That's another thing that I like AEW's doing. They're bringing back managers. Now, it's funny. The Nyla Rose thing in the last 3 weeks, Nyla Rose, you were talking about, like, how are you going to say you have a surprise and not bring out the surprise? What's funny is friend of the show, Bonnie, the second week they did that, she's like, look, if this bitch doesn't bring out a surprise, she's dead to me.
But Vicky was good, though. It was good. Vicky delivered, I think.
Excuse me! I do like that.
Yeah, I think Vicky delivered. I'm, you know, now I'm not mad. Like, I'm like, okay, Vicky's back.
I like Vicky's run with Edge back in the day. I thought that was great. I really thought that was great. Again, and not that Edge needed a mouthpiece. It just worked, like, especially because, like, he was, you know, she was the GM, and, you know, he was getting with her because she was the GM. It was a nice little storyline there. Like, I just, you know.
No, it was good.
I do like that they're continuing the Orange Cassidy-Chris Jericho feud. Chris Jericho put the kid over. He's like, hey, that was one of the best matches I've ever had. That's a compliment coming. It might be a little hyperbole. I don't think it's – look, I've seen Tanahashi versus Jericho, so let's pump the brakes a little on the hyperbole. But no, but he put
nah,
the kid
but
over.
Just,
like,
he's, like you said, he's putting him over.
Yeah, like – you know, it was a very good match. Maybe my expectations were a little too high, but Orange Cassidy showed that he's not just pocket in the pants guy. You know, he proved he's in there with one of the greatest. And I can't say this enough. Jericho's work in AEW is some of the best work he's ever done. I've been watching Chris Jericho since he was Lionheart in ECW. This is some of the best work he's put out there in the last 3 to 4 years between New Japan and AEW, and especially in AEW, he's just killing it on the mic, week in and week out.
See, you talk about Mox, I would give Jericho Wrestler of the Year.
Right now you give him Wrestler of the Year?
Yeah, because he's carried that banner. He's carried that banner. Look at him now. Now they are definitely competing.
Absolutely. They're there. Is there with WWE, in my opinion.
And
look,
are they without Jericho?
That's a good point. Without Jericho, I don't
know. Do you think
they're there
without Jericho?
That's a good point.
I don't.
That's
why, to me, I'd give Jericho Wrestler of the Year. But I think Jericho may be like Orange Cassidy was one of the best matches in AEW.
Yes.
Which is still maybe somewhat of a stretch. But I think he really just wanted to put him over. I think he's being a company guy, and they're like, hey, you know, we're going to have you beef with him because beefing with you is going to boost him up. So if you can do anything else to boost him up, we appreciate it.
And not for nothing, I'm going to throw a name out there to watch out for in the second half of the year. Now that New Japan is back, I love what they're doing with Evil. Really quick, you know, with Dominion, you know, he wins the New Japan Cup with a little help from the Tokyo Pimp. And Gato in screwing over Okada, you know, the New Japan Cup winner was going to get a title shot against champ Tetsuya Naito, who has both the IWGP Intercontinental and Heavyweight title. And then, yo, that moment when Naito puts his fist up for, you know, Tranquilo Ingobernable, and Evil switches from Tranquilo fist to Too Sweet, and they attack him, like, at the New Japan Cup, and then to have him screwed over. One of the best words that I've seen that I've enjoyed, I'm not putting it on the level of Hogan Swerve. I think that's the bar. That's the highest bar for Swerves, Hogan going NWO. But, yo, Evil as Bullet Club was amazing. I have utterly enjoyed the return of New Japan. They took some time off because of COVID. They did things a little differently in Japan that they did here. By the way, Dominion had a crowd. Dominion had people in the stands because they know how to handle their shit out there as far as
right,
pandemic.
I was gonna say, because in Japan, they listen to their scientists.
Like, wearing a mask isn't a shameful thing. Like, here it's – all of a sudden in this country, not washing your hands and spitting on people is a political statement, which – No. You're not. Look, one of the most disrespectful things you could do to a human being. Maybe it's just the New Yorker in me. I don't know. But one of the most disrespectful
not
things.
All.
I,
not
like
at all. Not at all. You spit on me.
You know where I'm going with this. Like,
yeah.
I'm
going
to
end up me, we're going. Star. That's not a New York thing. That's not a New York thing at all.
Like, I am
you better
not
spit on anybody in Washington, D.C. I'll tell you that.
I'll take Bianca Belair's line. I will make the time. I will make the time. By the way, it was great seeing her back, too.
Yeah.
But I going back really quick, because we got a couple of minutes, I think, and it's on the New Japan platform, because, like, Kevin Kelly can't travel out there for the shows. They show the English commentary on delay. I'm so hard-body with New Japan, I saw it in Japanese. That's how live. And, like, that's how hard-body I was. I went from watching the Masvidal fight at 2 a.m., to watching Dominion. That's how hard body I was. In front of the show, Bonnie was like, "Nah, son, I can't watch this with the Japanese commentator." I was that hard body about it, and I enjoyed it every. But I think that Evil is going to be someone who's going to put himself in the conversation for Wrestler of the Year. I give you Jericho. I'm still leaning towards Mox, but the other name to watch out for, Shingo Takagi, is the most underrated. We were just talking about Ace Austin. Shingo Takagi might be the most underrated wrestler on the planet. The most underrated player. Like, just, he's so fucking good. I don't know how they treated him as a cruiserweight / junior heavyweight, because he's a big boy. Talk about a horse. That's a big boy. But Shingo, if you watch two matches, the matches I recommend are Shingo Takagi versus Sho for the Never Open Weight Championship, Evil versus Naito, obviously, for the Swerve. But your boy, part of the new tag team with Tai Chi, Dangerous.
He got a belt finally. He finally got a belt. I was about to say.
Yes, he does.
You have to mention my man, PSJ.
I do.
He got
I
his
do.
Belt, man. He got his belt.
Yes. And not
PSJ.
Just the British heavyweight title. Yes. CSJ's got some goals with Tai Chi. I love Tai Chi. I love the whole opera
we on the move,
that
baby.
He has going on. I personally like Zack Sabre Jr. when he's tag team with Minoru Suzuki, but I'm biasly of such a fan for Minoru Suzuki. But him and Tai Chi made a great tag team. And look, I Tanahashi and Ibushi, as friend of the show, Bonnie says, that's the perfect tag team. Like, in a lot of ways, she doesn't mean just in the ring. She means she's smitten over them, if you will. But I think Ibushi's more smitten with, never mind. I'm not going to go there. but, like, it's not like they beat some Joe Blow tag team. Like, Tanahashi and Ibushi. Ibushi's another guy that, you know, he's always in that top five of best wrestlers on the planet. And you know, the ace is the ace. Huh? You know, he's the John Cena of New Japan Pro Wrestling, whether you love him or hate him. But he is the ace. And I do recommend you take a look at that match Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Golden Ace. So, anyway, we got like 30 seconds left. If that, any last thoughts?
Zack Sabre Jr. finally got his belt.
And on that note, we are headed out. Man, we just recapped like 2 weeks. So, it's been a great week in wrestling. Enjoy Slammiversary. Enjoy Extreme Rules. Peace.
Late.